Be here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
The Light Watch Chronicles, Book 1, The Guardians, by J. H. Tepley. Episode 18. Produced and dramatised by Be Here. Chapter 16. Vairaite, Dover, Winged Company. A narrow path led to a grassy plateau perched like a balcony atop a cliff. Clusters of pyrite walled it on the right, soothingly regular, their mirror facets glowing in the morning sun. From there, the distant vista of the Cairn Mountains was breathtaking. Fine gossamer of mist swathed their foot, blue in the shadows, but its feathery strands raising high and higher, up to the fiery peaks where the promise of a new day illuminated them from within. The sky above stood hazy and lucid like a giant crystal. Tay drew in a large breath of fresh morning air and squinted.
I wonder if we can see that town from here,
he said.
Yes,
Antares pointed down.
Over there. A few hours away.
Whoa, hooray! Light and all gods, we've made it! We've made it!
Tay did a little happy dance and looked at where the great star was pointing. Beyond the torn rim of the forest, a river rushed its way across the rocky plains, still darkened by the mountain's shade.
See where the river flows around that hill and becomes a lake? It's called Sota,
Antares said.
Thorndarn was built on top of that hill.
The morning glow gently touched her hair and charmed it with shimmer. Rosetta tones painted the shoulders of her high-collared white dress. Nasteri forced himself to look away. He glued his gaze on the thin flourish of the river as though it were the most fascinating thing he had ever seen.
Sweet!
Tay joyously clasped his hands, but then impatience stirred in him. An elvish smile broke on his face.
Holy Star,
he began, his smile growing wider and more mischievous.
Is there a way we get there faster than by foot? I mean...
He eyed the cliff's side, a tangled mess of brushwood, moss and stones banded by tree roots.
No horse would make it, but maybe we can fly.
How?
Hegel gave him a baffled stare.
On dragons,
Tay blurted out.
There must be dragons here, remember? We saw one in the library... Oops.
He pressed his lips bashfully like a naughty kid.
Sorry, slip of the tongue. We didn't mean to.
He looked away and then back at the guardian, his blue eyes disarmingly contrite.
We didn't mean to sneak around your house. It was when we just woke up and wanted to find Nasteri and we ended up in the library somehow.
I know,
Antares told him mildly.
A library is always a good place to end up in, I'd say.
She smiled, and Hegel nodded and smiled too, and Nasteri with him.
I've always wanted to ask,
Hegel said diffidently.
Who painted that masterpiece? I've never seen anything even remotely as magnificent.
Famaris did. And yes, it is a view from these mountains up ahead.
Tay grinned.
Great. Let's get some dragons then.
Since when are you so confident riding dragons?
Hegel sniffed.
You underestimate my skills. I can ride anything,
Tay declared smugly.
Not sure how big those beasts are, though. Can they carry our weight? The one in that painting at Meldian looked huge.
Give it a go and find out,
Antares teased him.
What do you mean?
Summon one. They live in the Cairn Mountains.
I can't.
Why?
I don't know how to do it.
I see. Has that ever stopped you in the past, Tay?
No.
Tay grinned again.
Not once.
Hegel narrowed his eyes, studying the peaks. In the clearing air, he finally noticed a dark moving dot, and then another one.
So they live in the mountains everywhere?
They do, although they tend to favour Cadavus Nidara, a long ridge with crevices and caves, slightly off to the north.
Antares waved a hand.
Wouldn't a dragon try to kill us, though?
Hegel asked carefully.
Not unless you give it a reason. The older ones respect those who give them respect. A power recognises another power.
Let's do it, then.
Tay's eyes lit up.
How do I start? It seems quite far. Will they still hear?
Focused mental energy knows no distance,
Antares replied.
Imagine yourself being in the mountains, standing there, watching the dragons as they fly above. Pick one, greet it well, then send forth your plea together with an image of where we are. I would suggest choosing a white one for this task. They have a better temper.
All right, leave it to me,
Tay declared cockily as he plopped down and took his meditation pose.
Won't be a minute.
It was, predictably, more than a minute, and more than two. After what seemed like a while, Tay frowned and finally opened his eyes.
No luck,
he admitted grudgingly.
They don't notice me. Must be doing something wrong, I don't know.
What mind gate did you use?
Nisteri asked.
For Mru. My bad.
Tay slapped his forehead.
I forgot all about them.
Nisteri glanced at him scornfully.
What? I didn't swear, see? See?
Tay defiantly jerked his chin up and then ruffled his hair.
So, which one should it be?
Probably the throat,
Nisteri suggested.
No,
Antares said.
He's not using his voice.
All right, that was awkward.
Learning often is,
Antares said soothingly.
But the warrior must be willing to be awkward and uncomfortable to get better.
That is very true.
Nisteri inclined his head with a light smile, grateful for the unexpected succour. Hegel listened in silence. He couldn't help but admire Antares' patience.
You can trust the wisdom of Caenareus Veri.
Fatial's words suddenly floated through his mind.
I wonder what he meant by that last word,
Hegel mused.
Caenareus Veri,
he muttered, not realising he said it out loud. Antares looked at him from under her lowered eyelids, in a manner Cano would.
Yes?
No, nothing.
Hegel flinched, discomforted.
I was just curious.
Care is a polite form of address,
Antares told him.
Nereus Veri means a star of the past in A. Good memory indeed.
Why, thank you.
Hegel dipped his head, part uncomfortable, part flattered.
No way you've joined Nisteri in that bosh.
Tay snorted and jumped upright.
Now you're both doing it. Sweet. Ah, enough. I'm not having you driving me nuts. That's it,
he added heatedly.
I'll learn A2. How to say hi.
Ai maioe,
Antares replied.
It's not so much of a hi, but more like welcome or well met. The most common greeting.
Nisteri nodded.
You said it to us at Meldian back then, the very first word.
Yes.
I am Mayo A.
Tay repeated mindfully.
Noted.
He stretched his arm behind his back.
Now, let's do the dragon thing,
he said, changing the subject.
Which mind gate do I use?
Indigo,
Hegel said softly.
The third eye.
Is that right?
Tay turned to Antares questioningly.
Yes.
The great star said.
The power of taking notes.
She smiled at Hegel, which only discomforted him more.
And if you both join in Tay's efforts, you'd get the result much faster.
Understood.
Nisteri and Hegel nodded sharply, like at the Academy's drill, and went down by their captain's side. For a moment, Antares pensively watched them meditating. A breeze ruffled Nisteri's hair. Silvery, like her own, only lighter. She closed her eyes and pictured pushing him down into the grass, touching him slowly, gently, until his heart churned, until he was hers again. Nisteri remained unmoving, but his chest deepened just then. He let out a sigh.
Wake up.
Antares prayed in her thoughts.
Please, wake up. We need you.
It's there. Light and all gods. It's there.
Tay gasped and his eyes snapped open.
We did it.
The quarter jumped upright and froze with their heads up, unbelieving. Even before the sound of the giant wings reached their ears, before the grass flattened from the swoosh of air, high above, a magnificent silver beast glided down, circling over the glade. The dragon landed with a heavy thud, claws furrowing in the ground. The sunshine gleamed and glittered on its wings and body, the thousands of scales yielding a nacreous shine. Slender and gracious, it seemed almost ethereal despite its size. The beast let out a short screech, then fixed its gaze on the stars. Its eyes were blue and bright, like the drop of summer rain.
Light and all gods,
Tay breathed out.
They're real.
Her name is Kriye,
Antares said, reading the dragon's thoughts.
She was intrigued, so she came to find out what we are doing here. The restlessness of youth.
The great star smiled.
Oh, really?
Nisteri curiously studied the visitor again.
How young is she?
Quite young. She would be a teen if she were human.
Kriye turned to the sound of Nisteri's voice, regarding him for a moment, then suddenly nuzzled at his shoulder, strongly enough to knock him over. Dragons don't laugh, but Nisteri could swear he saw a hint of snigger in her eyes. He got up, dusting himself off.
Could you tell Kriye, please, that we need to get down to the valley over there?
Tay said to Antares.
We would like to ride on her back.
The young dragoness found a place amongst the rocks and lay down, wrapping her tail around. She shook her head at Tay's words.
Kriye says it's a terrible idea.
Antares translated again.
Even if you did manage to climb on her back, you wouldn't last a moment there. The wind would blow you off as soon as she took up, and with the four of us around her neck, it would likely upset her balance.
Ah, sure.
Tay rubbed his forehead.
Makes sense. I didn't think that one through.
How unusual.
Nisteri's tone dripped with irony.
Shut up.
Tay grimaced. Kriye yawned, showing rows of sharp, pointy teeth, and rested her head on the ground. Antares reached up and rubbed the dragoness's neck just behind the horns. Kriye whistled out a sleepy chirp, her eyes narrowed into slits.
Right.
Tay stuck his hands into his pockets, frowning, excitement giving way to annoyance. He hated how stupid he must have looked right now. This was not at all what he expected. He rubbed his chin, feverishly trying to come up with something fast and brilliant.
We need a plan. Some plan. We need...
A basket.
Antares said out of the blue.
Hmm?
Tay stared at her, baffled, then at the dragoness and finally at the cliffs below.
What for?
Kriye reckons she could carry us down in a basket.
Antares's dress nearly merged with the dragon's scales, white against white.
She reckons?
Well, she's never done it before, but she believes it should work fine.
Tay wrinkled his nose. In his mind, he fancied mounting a dragon like he would a horse and riding it just the same. Proudly, upright, reins in his hands, wind in his hair. A brave adventure he could boast about, a thrilling memory. But being carried in a basket like a kitten, not even his gift of storytelling could make that sound heroic. He eyed the steepness of the descent once more.
Sure,
he forced himself to say.
As good a plan as any other, I guess.
Nisteri could swear he saw another twinkle of laughter in Kriye's eyes.
I wonder what she thinks of us,
he mused.
Yes, I do think you're funny, little ones.
A quiet voice in his head said. Nisteri gawked at the dragoness, surprised.
Cry?
At your service.
The playful insolence in her tone was slightly disconcerting.
Oh, I see. Well...
The warrior regained his presence of the mind.
Please accept our heartfelt thanks for offering your help.
He thought to her primly. Kriye stretched, clawing the ground with her paws.
It's quite all right.
She squinted.
The most amusing way to start a day indeed.
Before the quarter knew it, a litter of woven wood was waiting for them. Light yet sturdy, lined with cushions and silks in the manner of Silterianese travelling palanquins. It even had the small rounded window, although with no blinds over them. Hegel smiled at the memory. It was kind of the Guardian to fashion it that way, he thought.
Hold tight,
Antares said as she latched the door. Kriye leisurely rose to her feet, walked to the edge of the cliff and jumped off. Her wings shot up with a swish of hoisted sails, dazzlingly bright in the sun. Dragonus flew away, made a magnificent curve in the sky, and then returned, a white spark growing rapidly in size, the wind roaring and whirling around. The litter creaked as Kriye caught it in her claws. They went up with a sharp jolt, and down and up again. Holding tight was an apt warning. The litter rocked like brushwood on the waves. The quarter were tumbled on the floor at once, tried to regain their feet, but in an instant fell back down again, laughing. Great Star alone remained still, rested on her blue silk cushions, tranquil and mesmerizing like a dream. Even her hair flowed unperturbed down her shoulders. Nasteri shot a furtive glance at her, then his eyes swerved away quickly, but not quickly enough. He knew it when a familiar pin of pain pierced through his chest, mixed with a febrile, bitter sense of shame. He sighed. A feeling haunted him, not for the first time, of doing something wrong, of falling short of some ideal, unknown, yet crucial. Oh, how he wished he knew what that ideal was. Brooding cost him another landing on the floor. Nasteri dodged and caught Tay's fist coming at his ear.
At times I'm grateful for my training,
he muttered, pushing Hegel's elbow away from his chest.
I suspect dragons may remain an uncommon means of travel for a while.
His lips curled in a smirk.
Why, no, I think it was a marvellous idea,
Hegel replied as he tried to pull his legs from under Tay.
We all know that Tay's meticulously crafted plans never backfire.
That's right, never.
The captain snorted and climbed back to his seat by Antares's side.
This relaxed setting... Ouch!
He regally stretched out his hand and fell down again.
It's all thanks to my sparkling genius. You're welcome.
Antares smiled, shook her head, and mentally asked Kriye to fly slower. The disheveled quarter got back up, straightening their jackets and muttering their thanks. And as soon as that, all three clung gaping to the rounded windows.
Wow!
Tay shouted, wide-eyed, excited like a kid at midwinter, forgetting all about his grumbles from before. He stuck his hand out, spreading his fingers wide, catching the wind.
Check this out! I'm flying! I'm flying!
The first flight in their lives. It felt like magic. The litter rode the breeze, trees whispering beneath, the mountains getting closer. The river glowed in sunshine, a curled stroke of silver flame, a raw, inebriating sense of freedom spilt in the air like a fragrant wine. Nasteri gazed into the distance, his eyes suddenly narrow. A memory of their flat in Meguro, so high up in the sky, troubled his mind, and with it, a vision of their Tokyo days, and far. He rubbed his brow and banished those thoughts and returned to the present. A grassy plain was now before them, cleft by the Sota River in the south, where it coiled its way around the hill. The water swelled, wide and slow, languorous, embracing. The play of light and shadow danced on the lake as the clouds moved above. Kriye circled over the hill and, with a chirping whoopee, went gliding down. Close to the ground, she made an arc, gentle and low, her giant wings reflecting in the water. She tried to put the litter down, but at once worried that her tail might crush the fragile wood, and shot back up, asking Antares for advice. The grass trembled and bent in the waves below. Quarter watched her manoeuvres with raked attentiveness. Kriye made one last circle, and when the ground got close again, she opened her claws. The warriors froze and traded glances, shocked by the reality of a sudden fall, bracing for a hard crash that would follow. They crouched, instinctively covering their heads as their training told them, their only refuge, one. That worked for falling down the steps, but would it help now? Two, the moments dragged by, silent, each chimed out by the dull heartbeat in their temples. Three, another second passed by, then another. Four, five. They heard the dragoness land heavily nearby.
Fine, I admit it,
Tay exclaimed.
It was a stupid idea, all right? No more dragon flights. I'm sorry.
All is good,
Antares replied comfortingly.
Adventures happen.
She rose and stepped towards the door. Just as she stretched her hand towards the latch, the litter touched the ground, softly as a falling leaf.
You may get up and join me,
she added, stepping out.
What?
Tay hesitantly rose his head. The door was open. Antares waited for them outside, silver and white against the aquamarine sky.
What?
Nasteri echoed, lifting his head as well.
We've landed?
Yes,
Antares said to them.
Hurry up.
How come we didn't?
Tay muttered, stepping over the threshold and squinting in the sun.
I thought...
It's good to be alert and ready,
Antares smiled.
But sometimes it's also good to trust and have faith. You're not on your own.
Oh.
The captain looked at her, his blue eyes deep and thoughtful, as a realization came to him. Plain in its certainty, but carrying a hint of something else. Melancholy, perhaps.
I guess we're not used to it.
By then, Nasteri and Hegel already stood by his side. The litter faded behind them, its walls once solid, quivered like hot air and vanished away. Kriye trotted towards them lively, showing her teeth in a way that could pass for a grin.
How was it? How was it?
She asked Antares.
All's good. Did you enjoy it?
Absolutely.
Nasteri responded instinctively with a slight bow of his head.
We're grateful for your kind help.
Antares glanced at him.
You were magnificent,
she said to Kriye.
Thank you.
Ah, not at all.
The dragoness responded, flattered. The little combs between her horns pricked.
It was my pleasure. Good luck with your travels.
Antares translated for her.
What a terrific adventure.
Tay beamed a smile, momentarily forgetting all the snags.
We owe you massive thanks.
Weren't you scared?
Kriye laughed, but Tay couldn't hear her thoughts.
Well met and well parted,
Antares said.
May your days be blessed with wisdom and your wings with strength,
she added, following the ancient custom. Kriye gracefully bent her neck.
Dalye,
the dragoness uttered carefully, the only word she knew. Once broad and paved, the royal road was nearly lost under the cloak of weeds. Where it ended, a jarred ring of city walls towered wrapped in vines, green like a patina over a darkened crown. Their dappled reflections quivered on the waves below. The stars stopped at the gate. A barbican with a double watchtower guarded the partly crumbled doorless arch. It toppled precariously, held up only by its past pride and the gnarled ivy stems.
Here we are,
Antares said. At the sound of a voice, a flock of birds hurtled out of the gaping cracks and windows in the towers, flapped anxiously and perched nearby.
Welcome to Tvorn Dalen.
Tay grunted. He wasn't sure what he expected to see here, but whatever it was, this wasn't it. He shuffled the dirt with his boot.
Hardly welcoming. There's not much left,
he observed.
Wait until you see it,
Antares told him.
I can see it.
Tay shrugged. He eyed the scattered stones, wondering how this light forsaken hole might be useful.
Patience,
the great star said. The wind tugged on her hair. She rose her hand, palm facing forward, a silent summoning. Soon as that, vague silhouettes emerged against the sky, faintly luminous, ethereal but growing firm with every passing instant. The visions of arches, roofs and spires, bridges and palaces that rose atop each other, their crammed magnificence bejewelling the hill, shining with coral stone, until at last the city showed itself in its full splendour.
Whoa!
Tay looked up with a sigh of wonder.
So this is Tvorndalen. Grand.
Hegel studied the view with the attention of an artist, planning to sketch it when the opportunity arrived. The party crossed the gate, the quarter's boots making a sudden noise on the cobblestones. The city greeted them with silence and the distant chirping of birds. Nasteri gazed around, nearly emotional, to his own surprise, frowning at the unknown sensation that the sight had stirred in him. It felt like quiet joy, yet tinged with sadness, wistful and shadowed by an unsettling hunch of some trial ahead.
Why is no one here?
He heard Hegel asking, and Antares replying.
Tvorndalen has been dead for centuries.
Dead for centuries. The words echoed in Nasteri's mind, teasing up visions from another age. The days of happiness and plenty, of the city alive with songs and chatter, with children's laughter and merchants yelling. The royal tower bells would sound at noon, a chime so masterful it made all stop and listen. And, once again, at eventide, commending another day of peace. For a moment, Nasteri let his memories take him back, daydreaming as he walked. And then he heard it. A soft weep. A tearful plea echoing through the labyrinth of time, as though a child crying for help. A sound that wasn't there, wasn't real, and yet it was. The warrior winced uncomfortably.
You are needed there,
a voiceless voice said. Nasteri flinched and looked around, scraping to a halt.
Who are you?
Antares was ahead, speaking to Hegel, pointing at something distant up the hill. Tay followed them, half listening, hands in his pockets, checking the views, uninvolved. Who was it talking?
You,
the voice answered simply.
I don't understand.
Nasteri shook his head, then realized he lagged behind too much and hastened his steps.
I know,
the voice said.
But right now, it doesn't matter.
What do you want from me? Leave me alone.
The voice laughed.
Hear me.
It said.
You remember your oath to the king, do you not?
Nasteri swallowed.
I do.
He replied in his thoughts, suddenly understanding, solemn now.
Good. This is your chance to put things right. Your only chance. Tune into the frequency of transition like this. You're needed there.
It sounded more than a request. It was a call of duty. Nasteri felt he had no choice but to heed it, and he did. One moment he was there, and in the next he took a step back, almost soundlessly, and was gone. End of Book One from the Light Watch Chronicles, The Guardians. Written by J. H. Tepley and produced by Be Here.
Be Here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.